Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to our lesson summary review for today. Today we're going over our course, Spiritual Gifts, which is one of our Bachelor's in Practical Ministry program, and this week we're on session number 6. Now, this session will help the students to learn that God has placed evangelists, pastors, and teachers in the church as ministry gifts to prepare all his people for the work of Christian service. This session is also intended to emphasize that evangelists, pastors, and teachers are appointed by God and that they should minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I pray that you will have your study guide and your note-taking material with you for those who have already studied this lesson. I'm going to go over some of the highlights and exercise sheets that will help to bring a better or a deeper depth of understanding for you. So let's take some time out to pray as we always do. Prayer is very key to our preparation for receiving the wisdom and knowledge that we need from God, as well as to distribute the information in a way that will be pleasing to God. So let us now take time to pray for each and every staff member and every student of Grace Bible College and Seminary, as well as praying for all of those who are listening to these courses around the world. Father, we thank you now for your presence. We pray that your presence will be evident throughout this session as we study, as we teach these lessons. And I thank God for your blessing and for your favor that you are pouring out now. In the name of Jesus, may your wisdom be revealed and may it be exercised through us according to your perfect and direct plan. And we thank you, we praise you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, again, students, welcome to our lesson summary review. This week we're on session number 6 of the course, Spiritual Gifts, and we're going to go over some of the highlights of this particular lesson. Now, I want to begin with some questions as a part of somewhat an oral quiz. If you've already studied this lesson, you should be able to answer some of the following questions that we'll give to you, and then we'll get into a little more depth of the lesson that you studied. If you have a blank sheet of paper, you can jot down some of these responses to these questions, and then we can go forward from that point to see how to expand upon that understanding. So, first question that I want to ask in relation to this course is, what is another word for one who brings good tidings? As we are studying this course, this particular lesson on evangelists, pastors, and teachers, what is another word for one who brings good tidings? Well, of course, if you've studied your lesson material, you'll see that the word evangelist simply means one who brings good tidings or proclaims good news. Another question that we want to ask as we prepare to study this lesson is, can you name 2 evangelists that were mentioned in the book of Acts? And if you go through your lesson material, you'll see that it specifically mentioned 2 evangelists, one named Stephen and one named Philip. And it also talks about the fact that all of those who are part of the spiritual gifts, we know that because they are spiritual gifts, that their empowerment or anointing comes from the Holy Spirit. And so we see in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, it indicates that both Stephen as well as Philip and any other of the ministry gifts or spiritual gifts that operate, we all must be filled with the Holy Spirit and with God's wisdom. For the power comes from God, and the wisdom in order to minister comes from God. Another question we want to think about as we prepare for this lesson is, what happened when these 2 men prayed for the sick? In light of the fact that we mentioned that they must be filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, we realize that there were certain manifestations of the Spirit working through them. So when they prayed for the sick, the scriptures tell us that they were healed. Now, in the case of Stephen, scripture records one particular message or sermon or preaching that he did. And as far as we know, this is the only account, at least as recorded in scripture, that mentions about Stephen preaching. So how many times do we find Stephen preaching in the scriptures? Well, according to the text in Acts, he preached just once. But we see the result that happened, as even though he was martyred, sharing the good tidings, proclaiming the good news of Jesus, he was martyred, he was stoned to death, but many came to believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus as a result. Another question about Philip, the other evangelist that were mentioned in this lesson. Where did he begin his preaching ministry? Now the text says it was in a city of Samaria. And how did the people learn about his ministry? This is very key to us, because many times we think we have to do what's called marketing. It's almost as if ministry has become a business and we have to market business, the ministry. But if you notice that in the case of both Stephen and Philip, and this is true for all of those who have spiritual gifts, it is the Holy Spirit that will lead you and guide you into the places and to the people that he wants you to reach. So we see that the people learned about Philip's ministry as a result of the miracles that were done, as a result of the miracles that were done in his ministry. People saw many miraculous signs and wonders as a result of his preaching the gospel. And the result of this was many people turned to the Lord. So I will hope we see that the operation of the Holy Spirit through us, as we proclaim good tidings or proclaim good news, will sometimes manifest in miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, a question that we need to ask is this: are the people saved by the miracles or by the preaching? Well, if you look at the study text and if we understand the scripture account of these two particular evangelists, Stephen and Philip, in the book of Acts, we'll notice that the people were saved as a result of hearing the good news. Now, the Holy Spirit worked through the message to manifest signs and wonders to confirm the word that was spoken by these men. In other words, signs and wonders accompanied their ministry of the word or their proclamation of the word. So in the case of some people, they saw the miracles and then they believed that the message which was spoken by Stephen and Philip was true, and they accepted the message, which was the good news of Jesus Christ. And many people believed upon the name of the Lord Jesus. So that's very important that we understand that just because a person is healed doesn't mean that they come to know Jesus. Our point, our main emphasis in proclaiming the good news is that people may come to know the Lord. And as that results in healing, we give God even additional praise as a result of that. So again, we talked about the fact that if you're operating by the Holy Spirit, you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. You don't have to do the marketing of promotion for your ministry. God will lead and guide and direct you where you need to go and to the people that you need to go to. Now, thinking about Philip again, we know that he ministered in the place called Samaria. Why did he leave Samaria after he ministered? The scripture tells us that an angel told him to go south toward another city called Gaza. And we see in the account of that scripture text, and this is to emphasize again how we rely simply on the leading of the Holy Spirit in order to get us to the place where we need to go. As he obeyed the leading of the Spirit, he found an Ethiopian eunuch reading from a text of scripture from Isaiah. And the Ethiopian asked Philip for help to explain what he was reading. So what did Philip do? We see in Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Acts 8:35, that Philip told him the good news about Jesus. You notice that the message of the evangelist always centers around Jesus. For Jesus is the healer. He is the peace. He is our comfort. He's the Savior. He's the giver of the gifts of the Spirit. And so this is what happened as you look at the case of Stephen and Philip, and this should be true of all those who are called by the Spirit to serve as those who proclaim good news or good tidings to others, is that the message centers around Jesus, for Jesus is the good news that we're sharing with others. And so we see that as Philip explained the good news to the Ethiopian eunuch, he came to believe upon the Lord. Now, this is another question that we need to think about for those who are called to be evangelists, pastors, prophets, apostles, all those spiritual gifts. Question here is, did Philip neglect his own family? It's one thing to go out and proclaim good news to nations and to people groups all around the world or in your city or neighborhood. But the question I want you to think about is, did Philip neglect his own family? And if you look at the text, if you look at the study guide, we'll see that he did not. It seems to suggest that he trained his children in the way of the Lord. Just as in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs says, train up a child in the way that they should go. So we as ministers, though God may call us to do different variety of things, the gospel, which is the good news, is good news at home as well as abroad. So we've seen the case of Philip in Acts chapter 21, verse 9, that his daughters also prophesied in the Spirit. They also spoke inspired messages in the Spirit. Some may be a result of following his example or observing his example, but more than not, it is because they were also filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is why they also prophesied in the Spirit. So we always want to make sure that we don't just leave a calling, even if it is to go somewhere. The first place you are to go is to your home family. This is why the scripture says, first the gospel was ministered in Jerusalem, then to Samaria, Judea, othermost parts of the earth. So ministry starts at home. Another question is, why did the apostles use the term pastor and teacher in Ephesians chapter 4, you'll see where the Apostle Paul, which is the writer of this letter to the church in Ephesus, why did he use the term pastors and teachers? And it is interesting for us to note that the term that Paul used, it indicated that one person may be both pastor and teacher. He also said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, that an overseer, a bishop or a pastor, should be able to teach also. So, of course, a pastor can be a teacher, an evangelist can be a teacher, an apostle can be a teacher, but there is a distinct gift of a pastor as well as a teacher. But he wanted to show to the Ephesian church that there are the spiritual gifts that God has given to the church. They are not appointed by man, they are appointed by God, the gift that is. Now, people may be assigned the positions of pastors or an apostle or a bishop, but God has to give them the spiritual empowerment in order to have an effective ministry, which will be accompanied by people coming to know the Lord, and in some cases, signs and wonders accompanying their ministry. Thinking about that again, saying that Jesus is Lord and he's the head of the church, and this is session number 6 of the course Spiritual Gifts. We're talking today about evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And we're going through some quick questions, so to speak, like an oral quiz that should bring to your remembrance some of the things that you learned in your lesson. Another question. As we look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, who is called the great shepherd? And we see it is Jesus. And why is he called the good shepherd? You can see in John chapter 10, verse 11, which states that Jesus is called the good shepherd because he gave his life for the sheep. And again, we see Jesus referred to as the chief shepherd. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, and Jesus is referred to there as the chief shepherd because there are many under-shepherds who are called as elders or pastors also. But Jesus is the head of the church. He's the chief shepherd, chief apostle, and all things we get out. We follow his leading in the way that Jesus has chose to lead us now is through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is why Jesus says he will send them, his early disciples, after he was ascended unto heaven, that he would send another comforter that would teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance. And this is why these gifts are not just gifts, but they are spiritual gifts. Very important that we understand that. So, since Jesus is the chief shepherd, and he may assign other shepherds, pastors, and elders, who sheep does a pastor care for? Well, seeing that the sheep are the Lord, and he puts them in the pastor's care, you can see in John chapter 21, verse 17, we read that Jesus told Peter to feed my sheep. So even though they may be a part of the local congregation with which we may pastor, the sheep belong to Christ, and we have been given the responsibility or the obligation to care for or feed his sheep. Now, if you look at Scripture, there were some enemies to the sheep that were mentioned in Scripture. And what animal, according to Scripture that's mentioned, is a sheep's worst enemy? If you look at your study guide and some of the texts that we read in Acts, it talks about a wolf, that a wolf is one of the sheep's worst enemies. And so what warning did we see Paul give to the church in early church about wolves? We see that Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 29, he said that wolves would try to destroy God's flock. This is why it's important to have a shepherd who would be willing to risk his life to protect the sheep, to care for the sheep, even in the face of danger. So wolves was the animal that was described in Scripture, Acts 20, 29. It says they tried to destroy God's flock. So who do the wolves represent? The symbol of the wolves represent not actual wolves, but it represents those persons who try to lead believers away from God. So what did Jesus say about the wolves? You can look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, where Jesus told us to be on guard against false prophets who look like sheep on the outside, but inside they are like ferocious wolves. They are like those who are trying to lead believers away from God. So that's why we see that what Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 12 about a hired man. What did Jesus say about a hired man? That is one who is paid to watch over flock or sheep. It says in John 10 and 12 that when a hired man sees a wolf coming, he will run away because he does not care for the sheep. Since the sheep are not his and he doesn't care for them, he's not willing to risk his life, so he flees and leaves the sheep in danger of the wolves. So this is why you can see that Jesus is a good shepherd. He says, I lay down my life for my sheep, as opposed to those who may be false prophets or false apostles who simply run away because they really do not care for the sheep. So this is something that reminds us of the heart of these spiritual gifts, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We are to care for the people. Whether we receive a financial return or material support, remember, we're called by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to empower us, he's going to guide us, he's going to lead us into the places and to the people that we should go to. And we don't do it for filthy lucre's sake. You see, Scripture warns many times in the letters of Paul specifically about those who do it for filthy lucre's sake. So let's talk a little bit now about the role of pastors and evangelists. And there was an exercise sheet that was a part of this section, and we'll try to post it on the Facebook page as well. So let's go over some of the questions in the exercise sheet that were mentioned in your particular lesson. And we're on session number 6 of the course Spiritual Gifts, dealing with evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So we started off with a question about a pastor. So what does the word pastor mean? And why is the overseer of a church called a pastor? Well, we need to understand that pastor means shepherd. And the work of a pastor is like that of a shepherd because he is the spiritual caretaker of the Lord's sheep. Unfortunately, many people confuse preachers with pastors. Every preacher is not a pastor, and every pastor is not a preacher, even though pastors may preach. And we pray that some preachers are actual pastors. But the spiritual gifts that God gave is for people, are for overseeing the flock of God. Preachers don't necessarily oversee a flock, but a pastor's primary obligation is to care for the Lord's sheep. And this is why generally they are referred to as overseers or pastors. So, second question. How do you think a flock of sheep would get along without a shepherd? And let's take some of the problems that they would face and compare these with problems the church would face if they had no pastor, if they had no one actually caring for the people themselves. Not about the building or facility. You're a pastor of the people, not pastor of the property. Let's keep that in mind. So people need sheep to lead them. This is what the shepherd does for the sheep. Lead them to green pastures, to safe waters. You look at Psalm 23 when Jesus mentioned, it's mentioned by David as, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We see also from our previous conversation that the shepherd protects the sheep from thieves and wolves or other wild beasts or anything that will harm them. It helps them when they are sick by praying for them and try to rescue them when they go astray from the flock. And this is similar to how a pastor's responsibility is toward the members of their congregation. So it's a very needed gift, and it has to be imparted into someone by the Spirit. Question 3, why do spiritual leaders need to be filled by the Holy Spirit in order to serve as evangelists, pastors, or teachers? Well, we see even the disciples who lived with Jesus for 3 years needed to be baptized in the Spirit before they began their own ministry. And we see Christ himself did not begin his earthly ministry until the Spirit came upon him. You can see that in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. The fourth question. It is preaching that brings sinners to Christ, not miracles. Many people are seeking after miracles, signs, and wonders, but we need to know that it is important that God does verify his presence through the working of miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But we also need to realize that people are saved by believing the proclamation about Jesus. We don't just want people healed but unsaved. We want them saved whether they're healed or not. And we pray for the God to confirm his word through signs and wonders and miracles, which may result in healings as well. So the Bible indicates that miracles and other supernatural signs were God's way of verifying the truth of the salvation message. As I mentioned, while people are not saved by being healed, they are saved by hearing and responding to the gospel as a result of such miracles. So signs and wonders may be the means God uses to catch people's attention and convince them that Christ is real and that the scriptures are true. Another question, we talk about Stephen and Philip. How did they become evangelists? Did the church appoint them? Well, we see that the church appointed Stephen and Philip and some other brothers as deacons to look after the business matters of the church, such as distributing of food to the widows. However, it was the Lord that moved upon the hearts of these men to pray for the sick and to preach the gospel. So they were called by the Holy Spirit to be evangelists. They were not called by the church to be evangelists. And another question, we see that pastors and evangelists and teachers, they're not expected to do all of the soul winning, for we see in Ephesians chapter 4 that evangelists, pastors, and teachers, along with apostles and prophets, are set in the church to equip all the saints for the work of ministry. So all of us have a part in God's plan, even though it may not be to a greater or lesser degree. Let's pray that God continues to send more laborers out into his harvest, for he is the Lord of the harvest. So thank you, students, for allowing me this opportunity to share session 6 of evangelists, pastors, and teachers with you. We look forward to our next session. And in the meantime, God bless you and good day.